And welcome to the Taylor Report, right after your notification. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. There's been dramatic news from the Horn of Africa. Eritrea and Ethiopia, which had fought a war, a rather vicious war, some years back and have not had the best relations, are now in a new phase, of a dramatic phase, and we are very fortunate. We're going to be talking in about 15, 20 minutes with Dawit Habte, who is the author of Gratitude in Low Voices, a memoir that's published by Rosetta Books in 2017. And Dawit is from the area of Asmara in Eritrea. And we know he's been visiting the community here. So we look forward. This is going to be really interesting. We're, someone very close to it is going to be able to explain and answer, I assume, a lot of questions. This development's been in the headlines. But to begin with today, Phil and I, Phil Conlon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm doing good, Phil. How are you?
We're going to catch up on the this saga of the seas, the Mediterranean, that we've been following, where there is an entity called the Freedom Flotilla, and there's the Canada boat, the Gaza, and over a number of years, they have mounted an effort to break the Israeli blockade of Gaza. And it's an integral part of the right of the people of Gaza to live and trade and have their own, be their own, have their own self-determination against the will of a power that is in, basically encircles them and cuts off traffic and trade by sea as well as land. And some boats have been – two boats now, I believe, have been captured. Phil, what do you know about
that? Yes, both boats have been captured. One of them has already – the first one has already been towed to shore. All of the crew was manhandled in a variety of ways, and we have an eyewitness a report written with some detail by Dr. Swee, a venerable physician from London, UK. Mm-hmm. And of interest was the amount of violence employed by the Israeli Navy, although these people were all trained in nonviolence and put up no violent resistance.
Yeah. Let me, as you're telling that, just say that we it's very important people go to Freedom Flotilla, I guess it's called hashtag, right? They're on Twitter.
Right.
And get the latest information. You can find videos there. You find statements by some of those who were captured, I guess is the word. And also, it's a struggle, that and I feel that I have to be alert on my own part. David Heap, who we interviewed on this program, has been clear in pointing out that these assaults or capturing, the word he uses is attack, because the ship. We're talking important international law. The ships are in international waters. And again, if you, I think, Phil, you might have seen it there, but I know that I read it, that you can get the actual terminology used by the parties. That is, they are approached by Israeli ships, five ships, I think, with three speedboats is roughly the description I got in. And the Israelis say, you are in our waters.
Yes. And very interesting.
Yeah. And the answer is, by the captain, is we are a, the word, what's the expression they use, innocent traveler. I think, in other words, what they're doing is perfectly legal. And I'll find the exact terminology. But it is important that we do follow and understand the nomenclature involved, because this tends to get distorted as naturally in the telling. The journalists take over and they use their own language. But the ships are – have each of them – the one is called Al-Ada, the Return. And on that point, by the way, I think they were under power – that it, when you were mentioning towed, but actually the violence occurred, according to the doctor. Her name is Dr. Sui Ang.
Right.
And she, by the way, it's a detailed account. I think it was either in Mondo Weiss, but certainly on the, if you go to Freedom Flotilla, you'll get her detailed account of what occurred, including the fact that they nicknamed her immediately China.
Yes.
And then when the British ambassador...
British consul shows up.
Consul showed up, she became England.
Yeah.
They changed.
And her treatment improved slightly.
Yes, and she makes that point. Yeah. And again, let's stress too, that's what... When we spoke to David Heap, and I noticed all these individuals that we're in contact with who've been making this, I would call it, people like to use the word humanitarian intervention. This is actual humanitarian intervention. This is not an army. This is not a war party. This is a nonviolent group of people trying to establish humanitarian connections to the people of Gaza and to break the illegal blockade in Gaza.
Phil, I've got to say, we have the phrase. The phone rang and the message was we were trespassing into Israeli waters. Mikkel replied that we were in international waters and had the right of innocent passage according to maritime law.
Yeah. And we really want to make sure so that's where it begins. There was no reason, or certainly no legal right to interfere with their passage. And so it unfolds from there. It's not a political argument simply. It's also
legal
international law.
Yeah.
And I have to really commend Freedom Flotilla, Gaza, Canada Boat Gaza, that they have been so circumspect and right in the way they do this. And they have been garnering, and I think that's where concern comes from the parties who don't like this, is that they had a brilliant plan. For three months, they have been sailing, basically, in and out of ports. And again, I'm quoting David Heap, everyone here should know the Heap family name. It's quite respected for the good works done by Dan Heap, who was a member of Parliament, an outstanding representative in the City of Toronto. And he was the term was labor priest or labor...
The worker priest.
Worker priest.
He was a worker priest. That's right.
So this is David, his son. Now, they went to cities. They sailed up the Seine?
And yes, they did.
And they actually conversed with the people along the way. They met some mayors. The municipal authorities endorsed what they were doing, and the people on board are quite interesting. We have a trade union leader from the Whitehorse,
Ron Russo, and he's a vice president of the Canadian Labour Congress,
representing Indigenous people.
That's right.
Yeah, and he was a passenger. And this is a man, Larry Commodore, who is also, I believe, Indigenous, who was injured in this event aboard the Awada. The description by Dr. Sui Aing, and I find it, by the way, in Middle East Monitor. There are many sites now where you can find it, Middle East Monitor, but she simply gives you like a diary account, and it's quite compelling. Incidentally, it is very... fair-minded, I would say. She observes that she appreciated the civilized conduct of some of the Israeli personnel, particularly a medical doctor who wanted to assist Larry Commodore, and he did. And actually, it showed they cooperated because there was a principal position. They did not wish to take anything from, the Israelis. For example, the Israelis said, well, we're going to feed you. They said, we have our own food. So then that turned into a little contest. And that, of course, now he was having some type of difficulty. There were three or four people aboard who had physical problems. And the Israeli doctor thought there should be an intervention in terms of his medicine, which turned out to be his private stock of medicine. He wasn't using, he said, I have this and I think he should take it. One doctor talking to another doctor, and they agreed, and he was given the medicine and benefit. I like that. I mean, this is somebody who's not merely grinding an axe, looking for something, but she's very principled. and I would say pedantically so. But it gives you a wonderful bird's eye view of what is taking place. Now, a second boat called the Freedom. Now, that's, by the way, a sailing vessel. That's a yacht. And I believe it was last week we spoke to the wife.
Karen DeVito.
Karen DeVito, yeah. Of the captain. And I really didn't appreciate it when I was speaking. I didn't realize that's a sailing vessel. That's a totally – when somebody says he's a sailor, you know, you want to remember – he's talking sails. The violence aboard the Al-Ada is involved the – what they did was when they realized they were being attacked, in the words of David Heap, because they had a right to safe to innocent passage.
Innocent passage.
All our listeners, please learn to say innocent passage. So there they were in innocent passage. And so they did not cooperate with those who assaulted them and took their ship. And that meant that so that they turned off the engines. Well, they tried to force the captain to turn the engine back on. But that involves a little problem. He's actually not the guy who turns the engine on and off. That's a skilled man. That's the engineer. And he was in the lower part of the boat. So they had to go and intimidate through intimidation. The engineer did not care to see the captain in distress, is roughly the way it's described. And again, it's Dr. Sui Ang who describes it, tells it in detail. So they then started the engine, and then the Israeli Navy took over. So they actually powered the boat. I assume that those who were captured wished to make create the problem where the Israelis would have to tow it, as the words we use. But so that's where all these things become, again, extra legal issues. We're going to – we promised our friends at Freedom Flotilla that we would keep track of this. It is a very important story. And people say, well, you know, CIUT, what does it do? Well, one of the things it does is speak to Canadians – doctors, captains of sailboats, professionals, trade unionists like Mr. Commodore and Rousseau. And they are not being interviewed in the mainstream media. It was noted. But our media is very self-conscious and very frightened, by the way. I mean, there are stories starting to emerge now that our media is not sure what they should do with. So what they generally do is they, let's not talk about that. We'll just let a week go by and hope that it clarifies. So at any rate, this is the Taylor Report, and that is what we know at this time, is that there's two boats have been captured. And Phil, there's an Israeli aboard of the Al-Awad.
Yes.
Yonatan
Shapira.
Can you describe him?
Yes. It was aboard the Al-Awad boat in the Freedom Flotilla, and he describes himself as an Israeli citizen and Palestinian solidarity activist, and as he puts it, on Israel's dirty attack on the peaceful Gaza flotilla. And he speaks a lot of irony, a lot of sarcasm. He says, everything was usual. They slammed Herman, the captain's head, against the wall again and again while threatening to take him to the ship's belly and finish him off when no one is watching. A fist in the face of Arnie Berg, the old mechanic, and the finest tradition, electric shocks. So that's just a little bit of the taste of his article, which can be found at Mondo Weiss. Yeah.
Yeah, he's quite a remarkable man. He had been a helicopter pilot. He has been active in the Israeli military, arguing that they, you know, it's a classic thing. Soldiers are supposed to be reminded, you know, you cannot violate law in carrying out your duties. I would say to him, as I, of course, remind people once in a while, I was in the military. One of the things that gives you some self-respect is that you behave lawfully. It's important. And he's reminding him, this is important. You don't just say, oh, well, it's because it's them I'm going to do something. No, you don't.
It say about a military such as the sailors involved in this who engaged in petty thievery of the personal belongings, according to Dr. Sui?
Well, that
Sui.
Was raised by Dr. Sui Ang. Yeah. She says that the Al Jazeera reporter was aboard and they took all of his things.
Yeah.
She also had things missing from her luggage. That will be one thing that we're going to want to know. Is this some aberration? How is this accounted for? In other words, she had luggage. They bring her in. She goes through the process, and then when she sees her luggage, her things are gone. And by the way, not just anything. Valuable things are gone. It's certainly one thing to say to somebody, you violated the law. We're going to hold this because there will be charges, and maybe it's evidence. That kind of thing. However, you also give it back, or you give the person a receipt. This is what's missing. In the case of the Algeria reporter, I think it was something like $1,800, something like that, a phone, camera equipment. When they start behaving arbitrarily and outside the law, that's one of the reasons that anybody who's in the military, anybody police actually, should be very aware. Discretionary power is where everything breaks down. You can have an idiot, and he has discretionary power. And it's the duty of the ones who understand that you're only there to enforce law and to do lawful things. Lawful things. They're supposed to put a stop to that. They're supposed to say, I'm not going to carry out your order because that's not a lawful order. The language I was taught to memorize, lawful order, not just an order, a lawful order. And so, of course, they'll give you a good beating once in a while if they catch you being a wise guy about lawful order. But it's worth it, I think. So this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And before we go, I just want to say that today we have the news of Saudi Arabia has withdrawn their ambassador. And they've also told the Canadian ambassador to be out of town in 24 hours. I assume he's out of town by now. I would suggest he do that. And the issue involved Chrystia Freeland, CIA Taylor Report's favorite foreign minister. She had said some things about a family that's in prison in Saudi Arabia. Probably true. But what we would note is that Canada has had no problem with selling billions of dollars worth of military equipment to Saudi Arabia, which has been bombing and killing a neighboring population, people of Yemen, the poorest people in the Middle East. And that was never an occasion for Canada to say, we don't approve. But they do have some interest in this woman. And I would say, this is, listen, you are meddling. That is the truth. If you want to exercise moral authority and have the respect of humankind, you would say, we're not selling you any lethal weapons while you're attacking the people of Yemen. That would be helpful. That would be very nice. Incidentally, detail everybody to remember, Saudi Arabia says, listen, we gave Canada that contract as a favor. We can buy guns anywhere we want. So if you don't want our business, we did you a favor. So that's it. That's the part of this we ought to all watch very closely, because there's some heavy movement going on in the world, which changes of loyalty, where powerful people are going one direction or another. And there's a kind of riptide. But I think that foreign minister has gotten us into something interesting. I would say we should only support her if we're going to cut off military aid to Saudi Arabia. I shouldn't call it aid. Sales of weapons to Saudi Arabia. If you're going to do that, okay. But this other thing, you got to be careful about involving yourself in the sovereignty of another country. You don't get to say, release him immediately. It's the same way President Obama can't say to Assad, step down. You have no business. That's not your business. Anyway, I've talked too much. This is the Taylor Report, and we're going to be speaking very shortly with the author, Dawit Habdi, about his book, Gratitude in Low Voices, a memoir, Rosetta Books 2017. But first, we're going to hear some music from that part of the world, and we will be joined by the author.
I كلنا فات خمسين العلوم بحرنا تفتل بنوتي معبلو عقلنا يتبذل تنفاسي بعلو أعزنا يتونن من قدو خسلو عقلنا تواريو من كلو زوحت صحيو صنعتنا بالعمد زفتت عبنا تكيروخون وتيروم ناسكان عبزيبانا تيحو مشمو بمعاد بسال عقلنا هاقن بسال عقلنا هاقن لويتنا يوبركات بسال عقلنا هاقن بسال عقلنا هاقن لويتنا يوبركات